There's a new movie out that sounds like dramatic Hollywood fiction. Two young boys determined to save a small country in Latin America. One is from that country. He's Ecuadorian, but educated in the United States. The other is from Massachusetts and is driven to action by a homework assignment in middle school. Both boys want to help Ecuadorian communities sickened by decades of oil drilling and oil spills. But this story is not fiction.
Going from these oil pits, these oil swamps, to passing oil stations, to seeing the roads lined with thick sludge, to seeing children walking along the roads without shoes, just sticks with you. These communities have been exploited, have been spit on, because underlying this whole issue is this racism that exists there.
The true story of the converging journeys of David Poritz of Amherst, Massachusetts, and Hugo Lusitante of Ecuador is told in a documentary called Oil and Water. It's a tale of crusaders, but of crusaders sometimes in conflict. Poritz and Lusitante are both committed to helping Ecuador's rainforests and its indigenous tribes, but at times they disagree about the best way to do that. David Poritz got involved in this issue when he was 11 years old.
The final Six to Eight project was actually on different ecosystems of Latin America. And basically out of a hat, I was given the country of Ecuador.
That introduced Poritz to a world he's dedicated his life to ever since. When he learned about the long battle over oil pollution in the Ecuadorian rainforest, he became consumed.
I was so moved by the inherent contrast between the green Amazon jungle and the black oil that were found in the same location. It stuck with me, and I really got totally sucked in into this issue.
In his research, Poritz came across the name of a lawyer in his own hometown who was leading a lawsuit against Texaco over its drilling practices, Cristobal Bonifaz. And in the kind of coincidence that comes from living in a small community like Amherst, Poritz's English teacher was a woman named Margarita Bonifaz.
Then I said, "Is your father Cristobal? Is your father Cristobal? I really want to meet this man," because I was so moved by the work that he was doing and the dedication that he had clearly put towards this issue for so long. And after some nagging and after some more nagging, I finally got an introduction.
In that meeting, Poritz won over Cristobal Bonifaz and started volunteering for him on the case.
Really, every moment, every opportunity I had, I would go to this office, go to sort through these documents, and I had to show the connection and the linkages between the decisions that were made in the United States and the actions that took place in Ecuador.
Through his work on that lawsuit, Poritz ended up spending much of his high school years in Ecuador, nearly 3,000 miles from home. Meanwhile, an Ecuadorian teenager who shared Poritz's concerns about oil drilling was also intentionally displaced. 10-year-old Hugo Lusitante was living in Seattle. He'd been sent there by his tribe, the Kofan, which was reeling from decades of environmental disaster. Tribe elders saw leadership potential in Lusitante, so they wanted him to become familiar with Western culture in hopes that one day he could help the tribe take on the oil companies.
They wanted somebody who could speak both languages, who could really advocate for them. Initially, it was just to learn English, but he ended up staying 9 years learning the ways of what they thought was the enemy.
Laurel Spellman-Smith is one of the producers of the documentary Oil and Water. She followed Poritz and Lusitante with her camera over 8 years, beginning when they were teenagers.
They both were sent on this trajectory to save either their tribe or another part of the world, or really get involved in a bigger issue than themselves, and they were so young.
Poritz and Lusitante agreed to meet in Ecuador with the camera crew to talk about the devastation oil drilling had brought to Ecuador's tribal lands.
David actually was showing Hugo a lot of the damage that had happened, because he hadn't actually seen a lot of the most devastated areas, because their tribe had actually moved down the river to escape the worst affected areas.
David Poritz and Hugo Lusitante became friends and colleagues, but they sometimes disagreed about the best way to help the Kofan tribe. Because despite his work on the Texaco lawsuit, Poritz began to doubt the value of that kind of litigation.
I realized that a different solution and a different mechanism was needed. Attacking oil companies and suing oil companies, although important in certain situations as the law is, was not the mechanism that I thought would bring real change to the sector.
Why didn't you think that would work?
It's not that I didn't think that it would work. It's not the path I wanted to take. I had seen, I'd been part of this lawsuit for many years. I'd worked with a number of amazing individuals, but not any immediate benefit had been brought to the communities that the suit was trying to benefit. The reality needed to be addressed. You know, we as Americans, we as consumers, we as global citizens continue to use oil and gas. As that industry continues, and as we move away from the existence of oil and gas, hopefully, there still exists a need to dramatically improve the way it's produced.
So while David Poritz was studying at Brown University, he created a company, now called Equitable Origin, to try to change how oil is produced.
A critical tool in improving something is having the ability to measure it. You know, we measure students in school to evaluate school performance. Doctors measure us when we go to our physicals. Yet there wasn't that measurement tool for one of the largest industries in the world.
Poritz's company established a certification system to recognize companies that extract oil and gas in a responsible way. Basically, it gives a seal of approval to oil and gas products that meet certain standards for environmental and social impact. Poritz also tries to educate consumers to buy those sustainable ethical products. But Ugo Lusitante had a different point of view. He felt it was important to keep fighting the companies doing the drilling.
For as long as we can remember, they've been taking out oil. And that goes to cities, or we don't know where that money goes. And we should be the ones who are the most, having the best education in the world, best resources, you know, but we're left with dump.
Ugo Lusitante wanted battle. David Poritz favored collaboration. But Poritz says both strategies are pieces of the same puzzle.
I think Ugo also came to appreciate the work that I was doing and the tactics that I was using. He began to see that although different, it's part of a toolbox. They're not necessarily in opposition to one another. Many different means are needed to accomplish a goal.
But Poritz acknowledges that it's a difficult challenge to balance the competing interests of companies hoping to profit from natural resources and communities that live on top of resource-rich lands.
The moment that any stakeholder, industry or non-industry in this case, whether it be NGOs or academics, believes that we have weak standards or we are siding too much with one group or another, we lose all of our credibility. And it's that fine line that's so important.
Poritz and his company continue to walk that fine line. Just last month, Equitable Origin certified two oil fields for the first time, both in Colombia. Even so, oil spills still happen in Latin America, especially in Ecuador. But Poritz says his work has given indigenous communities a voice.
We're never going to fix the industry. We're not going to make the industry perfect. But we already have had a tremendous impact in a very positive way in giving agency to communities that have traditionally not had it and giving them the right to say, this is our vision for how oil development should look, and having companies agree with that.
That's David Poritz, the founder of Equitable Origin. Why he started the company is explained in the documentary Oil and Water, which will have its broadcast premiere on the PBS World Channel on September 21st. For more, go to hereandnow.org.
And Sasha, some sad news to tell you about in the music world. We're learning of the death yesterday of Bob Crewe, who co-wrote this hit and many others for Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And Bob Crewe also co-wrote Lady Marmalade for Patti LaBelle and produced for Michael Jackson. He was 83 years old.